is temporarily retaking the Syrian city of Palmyra.
That's Dan Whitehead reporting. A telethon this week to raise money for victims of the Tennessee wildfires raised over $9 million. This is USA Radio News.
This holiday season, give your family and friends the gift of thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier-looking hair with the Ovation Hair Care Holiday Gift Set, a gift-giving suggestion at a very giving price.
This year's holiday gift set includes the famous Ovation Cell Therapy 3-bottle system, plus intensive repair hair mask, clarifying shampoo, Ovation vitamins, and special Ovation detangling comb. What a great gift at a great savings price.
The Ovation Holiday Gift Set is already specially priced at 60% off retail. But today only, save an additional 20% off the holiday gift set price. That's a serious savings of over 75% off retail. But you must order today, Tuesday. And yes, it will arrive in time for Christmas.
Give the gift of thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier looking hair this holiday season. But you must order today to save over 75% off retail. Select this station at checkout to receive this extra special offer. OvationHair.com.
President-elect Donald Trump again ripping the Obama White House about reports of Russian hacking. Trump tweeting this morning, quote, "If Russia or some other entity was hacking, why did the White House wait so long to act?" Trump also asking, "Why did they only complain after Hillary lost?" Trump's tweet follows a new report that Russian President Vladimir Putin was personally involved in trying to influence the U.S. election. Today's a key deadline for the Obamacare law. Here's correspondent Joe Gomez.
Today is the last day consumers can sign up to the Federal Exchange for individual plans that start on January 1st. Enrollments are up sharply since the presidential election ahead of what might be the last year Obamacare exists in its current form. Congressional Republicans have pledged to repeal the Affordable Care Act next year, although it will probably take some time to develop a replacement plan.
Closing arguments expected to start today in the trial of accused South Carolina church shooter Dylan Roof. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Investigators say they have found traces of explosives on the victims of the ill-fated Egypt Air Flight 804, the Airbus A320 that crashed into the Mediterranean in May while traveling from Cairo to Paris, killing all 66 people on board. Egyptian authorities are now starting a criminal investigation. The cause of the crash is not known, but the black box did show pilots were working to put out a fire. A bizarre and disturbing case out of Tempe, Arizona. Here's Jason Campadonia with details.
The couple says they heard their 2-year-old daughter whimpering and noticed that her door was closed, which isn't normal. The father went into the living room and found a strange man holding the girl. The stranger let the child go, and the father and the man started to fight. While the two were fighting, the mother called 911. The father was able to hold on to the guy until police arrived and took the man into custody. The young girl is said to be okay, and the stranger is now facing several charges. Jason Campadonia, Phoenix.
The Labor Department saying fewer Americans filed for jobless benefits last week, initial claims falling by 4,000. The morning's figure showing 254,000 people filed those first-time claims for the week ending December 10th, and it marks the 93rd straight week of initial claims being below 300,000. And Star Wars fans gearing up for the latest installment of the hit sci-fi franchise as Rogue One, a Star Wars story, opens in theaters nationwide tonight. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor-supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited-time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about tonight's meeting at DIY Flemington entitled A Conversation on the Blue Line, Race Relations in Rural New Jersey, with panel members from the Town Council, the Hunterdon County Anti-Racist Coalition, the Vice President of the Toms River NAACP Chapter, and the founder of the Black Lives Matter movement at Rutgers. It's obvious he who's not on the panel, and I'll have my thoughts on that. Plus, why you need to give yourself a paycheck and six ways to improve your invoices and get paid faster. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we do that, as always, a brief check of the weather shows it is cold outside with temperatures currently at 22 degrees at 12:06. Today, we're going to have some sun and very cold temperatures, a lot of wind with a high of only 25 and a low of 15. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny and cold with a chance of snow late and a high of 27 and a low of 20. For Saturday, it'll be cloudy with a chance of 1 to 2 inches of snow in the morning and a high of 40 degrees with a low of 39, possibly changing to rain later in the day. And for Sunday, it'll be cloudy with rain showers, not as cold, with a high of 55 degrees and a low of 22. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 135.19 to 19,927.72. The NASDAQ is up 35.28 to 5471.71. S&P 500 is up 14.36 to 2267.64. Oil is down 60 cents to $51.49 per barrel. Gold is down $38.10 to $1,125.60 an ounce. Facebook viewers, you're up to date. Now to listen to the rest of the show, tune in to www.huntertonchamberradio.com. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Taking Care of Business. So glad that you could join me, and so glad I could join you. Missed last week's show due to a prior commitment. I had to be in Aruba, and I always tell people you know, that ask me how my trip was. I said it was great. I went from 35 SPF to 35 degrees, but glad to be back in New Jersey, glad to be back here in Flemington and getting ready for the holidays. Just 10 days between now and Christmas, so a lot to do, as my wife will tell you, with decorating the house and shopping and all kinds of things that have yet to be done in our household. And, you know, it sprung up on us this year. You know, who knew that Christmas was on December 25th? But here we are. So lots to do in our household. So there's been a lot of talk here in Flemington. We're going to venture away from the program a little bit because there's an event going on here in town tonight that a lot of people are talking about. Some are riled up about, and I don't think we have to be. It's something that's probably overdue, and but it is a very important first step, if you will, in hopefully addressing race relations here in New Jersey, here in Flemington, and in rural New Jersey. So the topic, Flemington DIY, which is located at 90 Main Street, is hosting a conversation, if you will, called Conversation on the Blue Line, Race Relations in Rural New Jersey. if you haven't noticed, down Main Street of Flemington, in between the double yellow line, there is now a blue stripe that has been painted the length of Main Street. This is happening in towns all over America. It's not unique to Flemington. It's been going on in North Jersey, Central Jersey, South Jersey, towns in New York, towns in Massachusetts. And so the conversation now is more about the race relations, not so much about the blue line, but about race relations in rural New Jersey. Been a very hot topic over the last several days with over 100 comments, several likes, several shares, rebuttals from the Hunterdon County PBA. But Flemington DIY has invited the following people as their featured panelists. Yamisha Bell, who's the founder of Black Lives Matter at Rutgers University. Alexa Offenhauer, who is a member of Hunterdon County Anti-Racist Coalition. Jeff Wilhelms, who's the race relations professor at Rutgers University and the vice president of the Toms River Area NAACP. Two members of the borough council will be there as well. They are both the former police commissioner, Brian Swingle, and the current police commissioner, Mark Hain. Now, my initial question was, why were there no police invited? Why were there no representatives of the Police Unity Tour invited to the panel? And I'm going to get into that. But to give you a little bit of background, I want to first give you the posting that the Flemington DIY folks posted, and then we'll also read the Hunterdon PBA's post as well. So from Flemington DIY, this is their post. It says, questions have been raised about why the discussion is necessary or even happening to begin with. The implication seems to be that even by hosting this panel, we are positioning ourselves as anti-police, which is far from the truth, considering our organization has shared the 90-100 main building with the Borough PD for nearly 3 years and have a great relationship with them. We think it's important to clarify our intentions due to some recent framing and negativity around this panel and to offer some clarification on the matter. In October, Flemington DIY displayed a Black Lives Matter sign in the window at 90 Main as a sign of solidarity for those communities of color being neglected and oppressed nationwide. Less than an hour after putting the sign out, we were demanded to remove the sign as it was deemed offensive by local government officials. In our eyes, this was not a political statement at all, but a sign of solidarity of the ongoing humanitarian crises plaguing the U.S. justice system, specifically when it comes to people of color. This indicates that there is clearly some troubled connection between race, the Black Lives Matter movement, and the blue line. We propose this panel in hopes of building a stronger community and a sense of understanding, reiterating that being pro-Black Lives Matter does not inherently mean anti-police. While Flemington itself does not have a large black population, our display of solidarity was meant to encourage open dialogue and understanding of nationwide events currently taking place. Originally, we were not going to even bring this matter up publicly, hence why it is even given the description of the event. But without mentioning this vital piece of the equation, the title Race Relations in Rural New Jersey means nothing and is perceived as making an issue out of nothing, which is not our intent. Therefore, the purpose of this discussion is to bring into the open and clarify these issues, particularly the varying perspectives around these hotly contested symbols. It is an important part of democracy to discuss opinions with those whom we differ. Discussions like this are meant to bring people together to create productive dialogue, not dissonance. So that's the statement that was on the Facebook page of Flemington DIY. When we come back from the break, I'm going to play for you, or I'm going to read for you the statement that the Hunterdon County PBA made in response. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand, or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterton County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, as I am every week with you at this time. So glad you could join us. So before the break, I was telling you about the DIY Flemington statement with regards to the panel discussion tonight on relations, on race relations here in rural New Jersey. It's called A Conversation on the Blue Line, Race Relations in Rural New Jersey. And I think this is something that these are conversations that I believe have to happen just about every town in America, particularly in big cities. I'm going to get on that subject in a few minutes after my conversation with a member of the Police Unity Tour today. So the Hunterton County PBA had a response that they posted to the Flemington DIY. And it says, in part, "It has come to the attention of Hunterton County PBA 188 that issue has been raised with Flemington Borough's Thin Blue Line on Main Street. On Thursday, December 15th, Flemington DIY will be hosting a conversation on the Blue Line, a panel on race relations in rural New Jersey. The Hunterton County PBA does not perceive this line as a divide between the police and the community. We see it as unity. If it is the belief that the Thin Blue Line is against any specific race or ethnicity, or that the line alienates diversity, then this would be offensive to those 137 law enforcement officers that gave the ultimate sacrifice in the line of duty this year. The borough of Flemington has shown overwhelming support for its law enforcement officers and from the community, who are made up of wonderful people. The Thin Blue Line has been a symbol of law enforcement since the mid-1980s to commemorate the fallen and support law enforcement. It symbolizes the positive relationship between law enforcement and the community they are sworn to protect. Recently, it has also represented a stance that we are all in this together as protectors of our citizens and stand united against the criminal element. Flemington Borough recently made a statement to their community by painting this symbol on the main street. This statement signifies their support and value for law enforcement. The borough, as well as many municipalities around the state, have chosen to show support to members of the law enforcement community that risk their lives every day in dedicated service to their communities and country. We would like to thank Flemington Borough and the many other towns that support us as peacekeepers in their communities. We hope that the support they have for us will rise above politics. We hope the citizens in our community will come out and support the Blue Line on Thursday, December 15th, starting at 7 p.m. This will take place at Flemington DIY, located at 90 Main Street, connected to the police department. Then they updated that release to say, "The Hunterton PBA and the Flemington Borough Police Department will not discuss anything to do with race, especially when having to do with the Thin Blue Line. I'm hoping that we were clear in our original post as to what the blue line signifies. All we ask for is respect when it comes to the blue line, as it means so much to so many. We would be remiss if we did not mention how disheartened and disrespected we feel to even have the Thin Blue Line mentioned in the same breath with racial relations. The blue line should never be used in a Title IV or be the cause for any discussion on race. As stated in the DIY flyer, Black Lives Matter has an obvious meaning, as the name states. The Thin Blue Line and Blue Lives Matter is in reference as a profession. The blue line is the color of law enforcement, not a race. With that being said, we do support discussions on race relations in the community and hope for positive outcomes and education on the topic. Please continue to keep the comments civil. No comments have been deleted. We hope we do not need to resort to that. We also cannot stress enough the importance of being civil at the event itself. Thank you for your cooperation and support on this matter." So I spoke this morning with Brian Murphy, who's one of the top executives at the Police Unity Tour. The Police Unity Tour is an annual bike ride held in May. from Florham Park, New Jersey, all the way down to the Fallen Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C. And he went a little bit further. He goes, do you know what the blue means? He said, the blue represents sadness for the loss of a loved one. You know, when you feel blue, that's what that color was chosen for. And it is designed to represent a fallen officer. But he goes, it's not like black lives or blue lives or anything like that. He goes, far from it. He goes, I'd rather see, and he said it pretty succinctly, all lives matter. He goes, we're all in this together. We're one race, the human race. No color, no person, no species is any better than anybody else. And we all have to get along. And getting along a lot of times means that we have to obey the rules. And when we break those rules, then the police do have to step in. When I asked him about this particular meeting tonight, he said, it's a great first step, no doubt. And I said, well, why isn't this happening on a national basis? And he kind of chuckled and he said, it's funny you mention that because the police chief in Baltimore and the police chief in Washington, D.C. actually approached the national chapter, the national president of Black Lives Matter, and requested a similar meeting, and they were refused. In effect, Black Lives Matter at that time was saying to them, we'll talk to anybody who agrees with us, but don't disagree with us. And that's not how this conversation has to start. So where do you stand? Will you be going to the meeting tonight? But on what side of the spectrum do you stand? Are you in support of the police, which I think the majority of people are? Can you understand and sympathize with the folks from Black Lives Matter and be sensitive to racial tensions that have been boiling up for years on end? And I think it's important that we all support the police and the difficult job that they do every day. Key statistic in the PBA's response was that 137 officers so far this year have been killed in the line of duty. Now, that's only part of that statistic. What it doesn't tell you is that over 60 of those officers have been killed execution or ambush style while sitting in their cruisers or you know, being brought into locations where they're just going to be hit upon. In 2015, there were 130 officers killed in the line of duty, 30 by gunfire. Gangs and even Black Lives Matter at the national level have put out hit orders on police officers, and we saw 5 officers gunned down in Dallas and several other towns across the country this year. When the national president of an organization is giving out orders, if you will, to their members, to their followers, to attack police, I have a real problem with the fundamental basis of that organization. So I question why anyone would object to a thin blue line down Main Street. In several towns across the country, including Warwick, New York, they painted a blue line down Main Street, just as ours is. And then Black Lives Matter complained about it. So they painted the line red, white, and blue, incorporating red for fire and blue for the police and white for everyone else. And that wasn't enough for the Black Lives Matter movement. And finally, the mayor took matters in his own hand, and they repainted the blue line. It's just a symbol. And I don't think it says that, you know, blue lives matter, and that's more important than Black Lives Matter or Red Lives Matter or Purple Lives Matter. As I said on this show several months ago, I'm colorblind, you know, when it comes to how I approach people. I don't look at a person that is black and get scared. I don't look at an Asian person. I don't look at an Indian person or a Muslim. I don't care. If you treat me with respect, if you treat my family with respect, and we can get along and we can work together, and I can help support you and you'll support me, I have absolutely no problem with anybody. So why color suddenly matters so much, I'm not sure. But why would you object to a thin blue line running down the main street in a town? Is it because you don't like cops? Is it because of race? Why is it in this country that you simply can't paint a line down Main Street without somebody getting in a tizzy about it? In a lot of towns, many towns will paint a green stripe around St. Patrick's Day. Does that mean that those who don't like Irish people should be upset by it? I don't think so. So I look forward to hearing what the panel says tonight about race relations here in rural New Jersey and pretty much rural America. And I think what we also have to understand is that the race relations as they happen in rural New Jersey could be totally different than how they happen in rural West Virginia, Louisiana, etc. There are different mindsets around this country, particularly in the Deep South, and I think how you approach race relations is almost something that has to be approached geographically. I can still remember in college when the Ku Klux Klan marched on our campus. They came from town up on our campus, and we all like took windows out of our dorm rooms, and we were throwing everything we had at them, from cans of Spam to soup, whatever we could throw, we threw, and we pushed them back from coming up on campus. Now, as it regards to the Black Lives Matter movement, they've been both good and bad to their own cause. They've been good because it gave a voice to Black people who felt wronged by law enforcement and the justice system, and overall, the system in general. It wasn't just about police, and it wasn't just about the judicial system. They felt that they were getting a bad shake, and they thought that this way, by mobilizing, they could make an impact. And they really could, until they turned bad. And not all of them, but they were bad for their cause because it couldn't control the message of their followers. And when people who claimed to support the Black Lives Matter movement resorted to rioting, looting, and violence, Black Lives Matter lost all credibility. Is every cop bad? No. And I've said that before on this show. Is every cop good? No. Is every black man bad? Well, hell no. And I've said that too. Both sides need to acknowledge that there is good in all walks of life, all professions, all colors, and that there is also bad. Not everybody is an angel. Not every cop is good. But it is such a minority when you consider how many thousands of police officers there are in the country. Yeah, we can't catch them all. But, you know, when we find them, we can deal with them directly. Many police chiefs across the country have acknowledged that there are indeed bad cops, but they are an overwhelming minority, and they are working to weed them out. Tonight, a dialogue opens, and it's my hope that both sides will walk away a little smarter and a little more in tune with each other's viewpoint. No one, not police, not Black Lives Matter supporters, not the legal system or anyone else should condemn an entire class or race for the actions of the minority. Both sides need to be aware of the concerns of the other. Black Lives Matter and their followers need to understand the role of the police in upholding the law. Now, if you've done nothing wrong, you should have nothing to fear from the police. If you have done something wrong, obviously there are consequences. We all know this and are taught this at an early age. It's called the difference between right and wrong. The police have to be made aware of what it is to be a black male or woman, for that matter, and always be looked at with fear and suspicion for what they wear, how they walk or talk, or simply for being black. Then when those groups understand one another, they have to spread the message to their followers and those who believe in them so that everyone gets it. This isn't just something that's going to happen in a hotel conference room. This message has to be spread far and wide, and it has to start at an early age. Being able to trust the police, if you're a young black child, needs to be taught early, or white child, it doesn't matter. You have to have the respect for law enforcement, you have to have the reverence for the law, and you have to obey it. And if you do, you shouldn't have a problem. But we also have to be mindful that if an officer shoots someone, whether he be white or black, or whether the victim is white or black, we cannot act as judge, jury, and executioner before all the facts have been made public. Very often, when a shooting like this occurs, before the body is even removed, there's already crowds assembled in the streets, video cameras out there. It's as if we're having the trial at the scene of the crime. Let's get the facts straight. Let's review body camera. Let's review dash cameras and make sure that everybody is aware that what happened happened. If something went horribly wrong, we'll put it out there. But if something was done correctly to the letter of the law, then that also has to be exposed before suddenly we're rioting and looting and anything else. And the dialogue needs to continue long after tonight's meeting is over. As I mentioned earlier, I'm a sponsor of the Police Unity Tour, a bike ride held every May, and I have to engrave the names of the fallen officers on a plaque every time that one dies. I dread those phone calls and emails because I know it means that someone's son or daughter, husband or wife, sister or brother, mother or father, has died in the line of duty. When I was growing up in the 60s and 70s in Bridgewater, New Jersey, we look up to, we admired, and we revered our local police officers. They were involved in the community. They visited individual homes, individual businesses, and we felt safe. Our parents taught us to respect them, and we did. I don't get the same sense that the youth of today feel the same way. And that's a shame, really, and could be part of the reason that we have the problems that we do. Now, as for the thin blue line on Main Street, leave it alone. We should be thankful that we have a police force willing to protect and serve this community, and this is but a small gesture to show them that appreciation. It can also serve as a reminder to all of us of the 137 officers, and unfortunately counting more, who won't be going home to their wives, husband, and children tonight. We should never lose sight of the fact that the men and women who put on the uniform and wear the badge do so every day to protect us. Tonight we start that dialogue here in Flemington, and hopefully it will continue in more towns across the country. And hopefully, representatives from the community, representatives from the police, representatives from Black Lives Matter, the NAACP, and others will start working on a dialogue that helps not necessarily solve the problem, but make it more palatable and understandable. This problem won't be solved in one meeting, but it can be solved if everybody works together. And working together, we can make a difference. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The momentum and the pace of this transition will continue forward all the way into the holidays as we assemble a team that'll make America great again, starting January 20th.
Vice President-elect Mike Pence talking to reporters this morning outside Trump Tower just hours before President-elect Trump announced that Montana Republican Congressman Ryan Zink will be Secretary of the Interior. Trump said Zink has a strong track record of promoting good forest management and responsible energy development. The White House says they are monitoring evacuations in Aleppo that Russians reportedly are going to allow happen, but White House spokesman Josh Earnest says the atrocities committed against Syrian civilians by Russia is alarming.
The kinds of atrocities that we've seen in Aleppo seem to cross every line, including some lines that I think many of us had never even contemplated before. The willingness of the Assad regime, backed by the Russians and the Iranians, to engage in depraved tactics targeting innocent civilians is beyond the pale.
USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Thank you for all the texts and posts and instant messages with regards to the first half of the show. I appreciate that. Taking a look at the weather, it's currently 22 bone-chilling degrees out there. Going to be colder tomorrow, so be ready. Today we're going to have some sun and cold temperatures with a high of only 25 and a low of 15. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny and cold with a chance of snow late and a high of 27 degrees, a low of 20. For Saturday, it'll be cloudy with a chance of 1 to 2 inches of snow in the morning, changing over to rain with a high of 40 degrees and a low of 39. And for Sunday, it'll be cloudy with rain showers, not as cold, with a high of 55 and a low of 22. Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way we be. Taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. Right, the song says we're taking care of business, so I guess we ought to do that. So let's get back into the regular program that is Taking Care of Business. And just a reminder, I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join us, and glad that and what's cool about internet radio is, and we've been doing this for 5 years now, is that the audience is far and wide. And I get comments from people in Phoenix, in Washington State, in San Francisco. I get comments from people in Boston, Chicago, Florida, New York. So I'm so glad that the audience is spreading wide and that more and more people are hearing about Flemington as a result. But the show focuses on topics affecting business. And so we'll get right into that here. And I just wanted to, I might edit one story before I jump into it. Yeah. So we're going to jump around a little bit. So in the preview, I mentioned there's six ways that you can improve your invoices and get paid faster. And this is an issue that is affecting businesses, and it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter whether you're a solo operator, have 10 employees, 100, or 1,000. Getting paid for your services, getting paid for your product, is something that we all want to do. Now, if you're a McDonald's, you get paid right there. Big Mac, large fry, Diet Coke. $10.95, you're out the door, McDonald's gets paid. But if you have a service type business, or even a product type business where you have to work on purchase orders, or you have terms of, say, net 30, then it can be a little rough, because a lot of times your customers will take advantage of that, and net 30 suddenly becomes net 60, net 90, or even longer. And it's very hard for you, because sometimes you can't pay your expenses on time if you don't collect your own sales revenue. So here's how we're going to hopefully teach you how to streamline your invoicing to improve your cash flow. Now, if you're an independent contractor or a service provider, you need to get paid for your work, just like everybody else. And because you have financial obligations of your own, it's equally important that you are paid on time. And when that doesn't happen, the health of your business is at stake. So to help manage the process, here are some tips from Bluevine for improving your invoicing process and getting paid faster. The first is to be professional. Make sure your invoices include the name, address, email, and phone number of your business and your client's business. You won't get paid if your client doesn't know where to send the check. And if you've agreed to electronic or credit card payment, be clear about the details, particularly now in New Jersey and in several other states, if you intend to charge a credit card processing fee. Nothing worse than thinking that I'm going to pay $200 for something only to find out that I'm being charged $206 because someone has tacked on a credit card processing fee. If you tell me that up front, chances are I'm going to agree to it. I may try to negotiate it, but at least it's not a surprise when the bill comes. And number two, you want to establish an invoice numbering system. Simply put, it's easier to track an unpaid invoice if it has a number that is unique to the customer and to the specific transaction. Number three, be thorough. Your invoice should include a fairly detailed description of the goods or service that you provide, and it should also include your pay rate, how much you're charging. And if you're providing a service, don't forget that pay rate. If you're selling a product, be sure the invoice includes the transaction date, the unit price, the quantity sold, along with the total price after tax, shipping, or delivery charges are added. Number four, be clear about the payment terms. Net 30 days is common, and it means that your customer is expected to pay for the goods or services within 30 days after receiving the invoice. To avoid confusion, discuss your payment terms up front. If your client doesn't pay on time, you may choose to charge interest or a late fee. However, this should be clearly stated in your invoice, along with how much you will charge and when it takes effect. Number five, be flexible. Your payment terms may vary based on the client and the type of work that you provide. Larger tasks, for instance, may dictate that you get paid in phases. In this case, it's customary to request partial payment upfront and multiple payments throughout the duration of the project. Number six, be prompt. Timely invoices help to ensure timely payments. It's best to invoice your client right after the transaction or when the project is complete. If you can't wait to get paid, invoice factoring makes it possible to get an advance on unpaid invoices. That advance is generally about 85% of the total. The remainder, minus any fees, comes when the invoice is paid. So just a couple of tips, but I've been working with a couple of new clients, and one of the things I noticed was that invoicing was horrendous. It would simply say, a line might say, 12-inch trophy, 100 at whatever, $7.95. And I'm like, there's no description. You didn't tell them what figure they picked. You didn't tell them what base they picked. When you say it's a 12-inch trophy, is it a blue one, a red one? They need to see that detail. And a lot of times, what I find in my business, because we do a lot of recurring business every year, customer calls up and says, I need the same thing as last year. Here's my quantity. So if I just put 12-inch trophy, how do I know what they got last year? So it's going to help you as well. Be clear on the terms. Several invoices that I've reviewed over the past several weeks, very simply, customer has, it just says the company name, doesn't have an address, where to mail the check, if it's to the actual physical business address or if it's going to a P.O. box, there's no way to know where to send the check. So no wonder you're not getting paid. And a phone number so that if there is a question on a bill, they have a chance to talk to you about it. So just a couple of tips there on how you can start looking at streamlining your invoicing and payment plan coming up in the new year. All right. One of the topics that a lot of people will write in about is Facebook marketing or social media marketing. And over the course of this year, I've done several stories about content marketing, social media marketing, the importance, which platforms to use, etc. But focus on Facebook for a minute and how to promote your Facebook page so that you get more customers to follow your small business on the social networking site. Now, a lot of people will throw up a Facebook page and they'll, so for instance, Crown Trophy of Flemington has a Facebook page. What are you doing with it? What am I doing with it that is going to make people want to follow it, like it, or hear something about it? So if you're having trouble getting Facebook followers, you're not alone. In a perfect world, you'd set up your Facebook business page and customers would flock to follow your every post. But when it comes to marketing your small business, it's never that easy. Getting customers to follow your small business on Facebook takes time. It needs a sustained effort, and it requires you to be creative in your customer service, but it doesn't have to be a slow, painful process. Promoting your page on Facebook can help you get more followers in a shorter amount of time. You should use paid page promotion to supplement your organic Facebook outreach. Facebook provides step-by-step instructions for promoting your page. First, you click on the Promote Your Page link below your profile picture. A window will pop up asking you to choose your audience and to set your budget. The cost to promote your page will depend on how many people you want to reach and how long you want to promote your page. Then click on the Promote Page tab and you're all set. Now, this is one of many low-cost advertising options you can use to boost your followers, improve website traffic, or to promote your sales and events on Facebook. Ultimately, so if it's going to cost you $5, $10, $15, $20, to me that's money well spent. Let's get more followers. Then the job is not done. It really just begins. Because so many people put up a Facebook page and then they don't touch it for months. Constantly, at least minimum once a week, add new photos, add new stories, maybe throw out a coupon, maybe have a special sale that's for Facebook followers only. Make sure that people want to be on that page, but keep it fresh. Don't let it get stale. If they see the same picture there for 6 months, they're not going to come back. So just some tips there on how to promote your Facebook page. Currently 1243 here at Taking Care of Business. We're going to step away for our three-quarter break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about interviewing tips for making the best hires. Not getting the job, but for hiring the right person for the job. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. Tell everybody, tell your friends and neighbors that they should be listening to Taking Care of Business every Thursday at noon or any of our programs here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. It's a great way to start your day with Big C, Chris Bianco in the morning, and all of the other shows. Some may not apply to you, some all of a sudden will hit you like a ton of bricks, you know. But if you need help with accounting, we have accounting shows. If you need help with home repair, we have home repair shows. If you need help with emotional issues or counseling issues, we have shows for that with Ruth Altamira Roll. So make sure that you're listening to Taking Care of Business. And if you have a showroom and you can stick a computer out there, why not play it live all day long? When I worked at WBRW in Bridgewater, nothing better than when I walked into a business and I could hear our station playing over the speakers. I loved that. So before the break, I mentioned that the next story was called Interviewing Tips for Making the Best Hires. Now, interviewing for a job can be a nerve-wracking experience for those seeking employment, but it's often no picnic for those on the other side of the desk either. Small business owners who live or who have a handle on the interviewing process generally end up with successful hires, but for those who haven't refined their interviewing skills, the results are less predictable. Sometimes they wind up with the right choice, and other times they end up with a problem. Now, according to Sharon Armstrong, who's the president of Sharon Armstrong & Associates, there are simple strategies to gain control, and one of the most effective tactics is behavioral interviewing. This approach is based on the principle that past behavior is the most likely predictor of future on-the-job behavior. Whether this behavior leads to success or failure has to be determined. But Armstrong, who's the author of the Essential HR Handbook, believes that behavioral interviewing reveals much more about a job applicant because it encourages deeper conversation and engagement, allowing the interviewer greater insight into a prospective candidate's attitude, decision-making, coping skills, and so on. Effective job interview questions might include, how do your skills and experiences qualify you for this position? What's an example of how you prioritize your work? Explain an instance when you encountered a problem at work and tell me what you did to bring about a solution. Describe a situation in which you were required to work under pressure and how you reacted. Then walk me through your best customer service experience. Now, to prepare for a behavioral interview, analyze the list of duties that the job entails and then build questions off that list. It's also up to the interviewer to set the right tone and establish the rapport that will make the candidate feel comfortable enough to respond fully to the questions. Be sure to have the applicant's resume on hand with an assessment form to record your impressions. Keep in mind that the purpose of the interview isn't just about learning about the candidate, it's also about creating goodwill and good word of mouth for your company, whether or not you end up hiring the person. During the interview, take note of any red flags. If the candidate can't tell you how their skills match your needs, if there are inconsistencies between the resume and what they're telling you, if they have no idea what your company does, demonstrating both a lack of preparation and initiative, and if they reveal confidential information about a former employer or talk negatively about them, they're likely to do the same about you down the road. As for ending the interview, Armstrong's favorite question is, as we close, is there anything else you'd like me to know about your skills? And always keep the process professional and organized. She said, never give an applicant reason to believe that he or she is a shoo-in or rejected. Make sure to tell the candidate that when he or she can expect to hear back from you, and then keep that commitment. So some great tips there. And again, it's not something that we do every day. If you're a person that either builds trophies, engraves plaques, maybe you work in an advertising agency or something like that, or you run a deli, if that's what you do every day, you're not a professional interviewer. So some of those tips may help you in trying to figure out where your next best hire is coming from. I wanted to backtrack a little bit from the beginning of the show. The stock market is currently up like 150 points. And I did a little research because I found this, you know, kind of interesting. Now, we've been doing the show for 5 years. So I went back. Currently, the Dow is up 135.19 to 19,927.72. We've been doing the show for 5 years. We started in October, so 5 years and 2 months. Went back to the original show, and the Dow was at like 12,270 points in just 5 years. So interesting little tidbit there on the history of the stock market. We went through some ups and downs and everything, but to be up 7,000 points, absolutely phenomenal. Next up, why you need to give yourself a paycheck. And it's currently $12.50 here at Huntington Chamber Radio. Now, drawing a salary is more than just a formality for small business owners. A regular paycheck helps with cash flow, retirement planning, and more. Do you pay yourself an actual paycheck or just draw from your business profits as needed? Either option is an acceptable way to pay yourself as a small business owner, but you may want to consider giving yourself a regular salary. Every business owner should get in the habit of paying themselves, even if it's just a little bit, said Kathy Pareto, who's the founder of Kathy Pareto Associates of Coral Gables, Florida. It matters for a host of reasons, not the least of which is planning your business cash flow. Most of us have bills to pay, and if you're relying on your business for income, you should have an idea of the minimum amount that you need to meet your personal obligations. According to Pareto, when you take that into consideration and add your own salary to the business expenses, cash flow is much easier to track. Paying yourself an actual salary can also make it easier to save for retirement and collect Social Security. While there are exceptions, in most cases the IRS requires that you pay yourself an actual W-2 wage in order to put money into a 401k plan. Pareto recommends talking to an accountant to decide what works best for you. And last but not least, a salary helps quantify the value of your contribution to your business. It also represents your market value, said Rosemary Frank, a financial advisor based in Brentwood, Tennessee. That becomes important if you get a divorce, want to change the business partnership, sell the business, all kinds of scenarios. Essentially, if your labor isn't calculated into the operating cost of the business, it's hard for anyone outside of it to get a firm grasp on the company's value. Frank recommends doing some research or talking to a career counselor or HR expert to get a good sense of what you're worth. How much would another company pay for you to do what you do? And even if you can't afford to pay yourself that much, at least it gives you a place to start. The bottom line, very simply, is paying yourself a salary is more than just a formality. It helps your personal finances and your business stay healthy and operate smoothly. So some good tips there on why it's important for you to be taking a salary in your business. And so many people tell me, oh, I don't pay myself. I just keep putting it back into the business. Not necessarily the best way for you to be running your business. So, as was mentioned, it's a good idea to start taking that salary. Let's talk about business tax liens. Ugh, who wants to talk about that? Here's what you need to know and how to recover if it should happen to you. Now, tax liens can have a big impact on your business, your credit scores, and your ability to get financing down the road. Learn what it means and what you can do about it early. So you're applying for business financing and you find that you were denied due to credit issues. And this is confusing because your scores should be solid. You make on-time payments, have a sizable credit history, and you keep your total debt utilization low. Same goes for your business credit scores. Your business pays its vendors and suppliers on time, sometimes even early, keeps a low credit balance, and has a number of years in business under its belt. Additionally, neither you nor your business has ever filed for bankruptcy. You come to find out that it's a different type of public record, a business tax lien that landed you that denial letter. Business tax liens can have a big impact on your business credit scores and your ability to get financing for your business, so it's important for entrepreneurs to know what it is and what they can do about it. So what is a tax lien? A federal tax lien is an alert to creditors that the IRS has a legal right to your property because you neglected or failed to pay a tax debt. First, the IRS will send you a notice of demand for payment stating that you owe taxes to the U.S. government. If you don't pay, the IRS will then file a notice of federal tax lien, which is a public record indicating that the government has a legal interest in your property. Because that tax lien is a public record, it can end up being supplied to credit reporting agencies who may add them as a data point on your credit report. A tax lien can be filed against a business if taxes are owed by the business and the tax debt is not paid in full, or sometimes if arrangements are not made to pay in full, similar to how a tax lien might end up in your personal credit report. If the notice of federal tax lien is supplied to credit reporting agencies, a business tax lien can appear on a business credit report. This alerts creditors that the IRS has rights to all of your business's properties, including your accounts receivable. How does a business tax lien affect you? On your business credit report, it'll indicate to creditors, vendors, and suppliers that your business cannot pay its taxes, which they could take to mean that your business has financial problems. A tax lien will, in most circumstances, cause your personal credit score to drop, and a business tax lien will cause your business credit scores to drop as well. A business tax lien shouldn't affect your personal credit scores, and if you see that a tax lien associated with your business is affecting your personal credit, the IRS could be attempting to hold you, the principal owner, personally liable for your business's tax debt. If this is the case, you'll want to get advice from your attorney as soon as possible. But what can you do about a business tax lien? Well, the first thing is you should try to pay off your business's tax debt. When you've paid the debt, the IRS will release the tax lien within 30 days, but that won't necessarily remove the public record. You'll need to apply to have it withdrawn if you want it removed from the public record, but your eligibility for that will depend on if you and your business are in compliance for the last 3 years of tax return filings, you are current on your tax payments and federal tax deposits. Can't pay yet? You may have a few different options for lessening the blow of a business tax lien. There is direct debit installment agreement. If you owe $25,000 or less, you can try an installment agreement where you pay the full amount of your tax debt within 5 years or before the collection statute expires, whichever is earlier, and you agree to have the payments automatically deducted from your bank account. You can apply to have the tax lien withdrawn after 3 successful payments if you are in full compliance on all other filing and payments, and your record shows no defaults on current or previous installment agreements. There's also subordination. If you're looking for business financing and you can't pay your tax debt and don't qualify for withdrawal under an installment agreement, you could try this. This won't remove the lien from the public record, but it will allow a creditor to essentially bypass the IRS and have first rights on your property, making it easier to get a loan. You need to learn more about what to do if you can't pay your business taxes. If you do have your business lien or tax lien withdrawn, you can notify the business credit reporting agencies and ask them to stop reporting it. You need to have a copy of the IRS document stating that the lien was withdrawn, and generally they remove the lien from your reports, but it likely has to be verified and can be a lengthy process. Business tax liens can have a large effect on your business credit and ability to get financing. It's a good idea for business owners to monitor both their personal and business credit. 25% of business credit reports have errors causing a negative impact, so monitoring your credit is smart even if you think you're current on all of your payment and tax debts. In sports, NFL Week 15 kicks off tonight with the Jeff Fisherless Los Angeles Rams taking on the Seattle Seahawks. Game time is 8:25 p.m. NCAA College Football Bowl season starts this Saturday. In NCAA men's basketball, the top 10 looks like this. Villanova holds down the number one spot, followed by UCLA, Kansas, Baylor, and Duke. Kentucky, North Carolina, Gonzaga, Indiana, and Creighton round out the top 10. And just a reminder, tonight there will be a meeting at 90 Main Street from DIY Flemington about race matters and about the thin blue line that was recently painted down Main Street in Flemington, but it's more for discussing race relations in rural New Jersey. So an interesting topic, and hopefully several of you will be able to get out there and attend that event. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I am Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
News is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
About January and February when we have the doldrums of winter. The second thing is amaryllis. Similar to paper whites, an amaryllis is also a bulb, but the amaryllis bulb is much, much bigger. It's a bigger bulb. It has a very thick stem, and then it has a wide flower that kind of looks like a lily, I would say. I don't remember if Peggy said it was related to the lily family, but it kind of looks like a lily. It has sort of a trumpet flower and a very big flower, and it comes in a variety of colors. It comes in whites and pinks and corals and lots of different colors for amaryllis. Also nice smelling, not as fragrant as paper white,